First, last week was Banned Book Week. Organizers say the annual event celebrates the freedom to seek and express ideas. This year's theme is Banning Books Silences Stories. Due to the airing of the Kavanaugh hearings last week, we were unable to air our interview then. During Banned Books Week, we talked with Jamie LaRue, the director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom, last Thursday. Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, take us back to 1982 and why Banned Book Week began.
Well, there's long been a friendly association between librarians and publishers because, you know, our whole business is what they do. And there was an expo in Anaheim, California. And some of the librarians were looking at the wares on display at the expo, and they said, you know, so many of these books are being challenged in our libraries. And so a bunch of them got a bright idea to gather a bunch of these books and put them in the center of the convention. And then they got some big yellow masking tape and put that around it to make it look like a police scene. And that so delighted all of the journalists who saw that we've been doing it every year since. And at this point, it's probably one of the best recognized programs that the American Library Association does. And it reminds everybody that our freedom to read has to be watched all the time.
Now, once upon a time, books were banned by government agencies from being published. The works of James Joyce and others, there were trials around these. Now you can publish pretty much anything you want in print, online, ebook format. Is this something we really still need to worry about in 2018?
Yeah, it sure is. And I guess I kind of want to push back on this idea that banned only means that the federal government says that it can't come in or it can't be printed. There are many kinds of banning and there are many kinds of governments. So our contention is this. Anybody can challenge a book, and a challenge isn't just complaining about it. It's saying that we think that this school library or public library book should be restricted, meaning it should be harder to get to, or it should be removed altogether. And if it's just challenged, and that happens a lot in America, that's fine. It's okay for people to challenge things. But when a book is removed, a government entity, so we're talking about a school or a public library, a university, is making a decision to remove that book from somebody. And before we say, well, that's, you know, it's still available elsewhere, many of the books that come under challenge most frequently are kind of aimed at young people who are dealing with sometimes difficult issues. And so, as I say, if you're a teen, you know, and you're gay, you don't know that the book was there if somebody complained about it at the school library and it got pulled. Most of the libraries in America are in pretty small rural areas. That teenager doesn't have a credit card to go to Amazon. They don't have a license to drive to the bookstore that's a town over. And so what that means is these decisions to remove books have real consequences for real people.
Now, libraries are curated. They can't have, obviously, all the books in the world. Can you talk about what happens in that process then when someone in the community says, I want to challenge this book. I don't think you should curate it. I don't think you should have it as part of your collection.
Okay, and again, complaining about books is almost as much fun as reading about them, so that part's okay. So when someone comes in, they say, you know, this book should be restricted or removed, and we say, okay, we have a process that we follow that librarians call request for reconsideration. And what that means is instead of just a knee-jerk response to say, what, you found a bad word on page 17, we sit down and look at the material selection policy that was used to govern what we bought in the first place. Then usually a committee is put together that represents various different perspectives and groups, and then they sit down and read the entirety of the book. That's very important. Consider the entire service, and then sit down and say, how does that fit with our policy, and do we believe that it should be retained, restricted, or removed? And when it follows like that, then they say, okay, we make a recommendation then to the administrator, could be a library director. And if someone disagrees with that, then there could be an appeal that goes to a governing body, so a school board or a library board. And after that, it's final.
Let's talk about that middle option you mentioned, restricted. It's not an either or, but how would that work if somebody says, okay, we're fine with having this in the library. We don't want it as accessible to kids under age, I don't know, 12.
Well, my story about that one goes back to when I was a kid, and I was 14 years old, and I had just kissed for the first time, and I went to look up some of the stuff, and so I, being a good library user, I went to the card catalog and looked up the word sex, and there really was a heading in my public library that said, for sex, see librarian. And what I loved about that, you know, that could have been a potentially very popular service, but in fact what it meant was you go to the library and say, I'm looking for this book, but of course you're very nervous when you do something like that. And then there was a special location somewhere in the back room or under the desk or somewhere hidden. Well, what we've learned as librarians is that special collections are basically hidden collections. Nobody asks for them. Nobody uses them. It's like buying a book and putting it in a box. It doesn't serve any purpose.
But a parent might say, okay, I don't want my 14-year-old, great. My 5-year-old, they're maybe not ready, I think, as a parent for some of this material. How do you display it so that maybe that 14-year-old can get to it, the 5-year-old doesn't stumble onto it?
Well, libraries have always had sections within the building that kind of are targeted to specific ages. So if you're a preschooler or somewhere between the ages of 3 and 7 or 8, you're hanging out in the juvenile picture book area and the easy readers. It's not in the same location within the library. And I think that the other thing that we should remember is that, first, I don't think that children can read too much. I really don't. And I also think that if you're 5 years old, you're not interested in the things that a 14-year-old is interested in. You're not going to pick up the book and read it.
Talking to Jamie LaRue, director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom. It's Banned Book Week. And, Jamie, let's get into some of the most commonly challenged books of last year, the most recent year, 2017. One that's come up, I assume because of the, I think it was a Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why by Jay Asher. Can you talk about that book?
Yeah, I sure can. When it first came out in 2007, and I should say the topic of the book is suicide in high school, so a main character commits suicide, and the rest of the book kind of goes through is that why did she do that, and all the people who were involved in that decision. So when it came out in 2017, a lot of school administrators and superintendents and principals pulled the book before anybody even asked for it, and that's because there is a justifiable concern. Sometimes we have suicides in schools and they become almost contagious. And so administrators are very worried about that. But then librarians stand up and they say, well, the reason we bought this is because there are children who are dealing with this. We have people in our high school. And at least this gives us a way to say that you're not alone and we can talk about it and there are resources that we can make available to you. Well, when the Netflix series came out, the book, again, was challenged. We saw a big surge in the challenges to it. Even though the book and the Netflix series are very different, in the book, the girl who kills herself does it by taking sleeping pills, and in the series, it's more graphic. There's a razor blade involved. And so, once again, we find that in those places where there was no librarian, the worried superintendent or principal came in and removed the book and didn't say, and no one said anything. It just disappeared. But where there were school librarians, they said, we bought this for a reason. There is a process that we have to follow before it's removed. And in many cases, what they then do is invest in things like websites on a school catalog to say, if you are thinking about this, these are resources. And so, of course, librarians feel that, we are defenders of the right to inquire, and B, rather than just silence people who are saying things we don't want to hear, we think that more speech is better than less speech. Silence serves nobody, and sometimes speaking can save a life.
A couple other books on the challenge list, I Am Jazz by Jessica Herthel and Jazz Jennings, and George by Alex Gino, both deal with gender identity. Can you talk about why these are commonly challenged?
Yeah, in fact, 50% of the books that were challenged in 2017 fall into LGBTQ. And one of the things I often believe is that when we roll out this list every year and go back and tally all of the challenges that have been reported to us, it's kind of a snapshot of what mainstream America is worried about this year. And so LGBT has been in the news quite a lot. And so the fairly small smattering of books that have begun to be published and show up in libraries are getting some significant pushback.
And then another one, Angie Thomas. This has gotten a lot of attention lately, The Hate U Give. This is a different category. I think it deals with racial issues.
Yeah, this is one. In fact, I believe the movie is just coming out about it. And it's about a young black girl who sees a friend of hers get shot by the police. And so she works through, and I think a very interesting way to say, you know, this is the experience from the police side of it, from the high school side of it, from the white side of it, from the black side of it, and it's a powerful and moving story.
And a couple of recurring titles that seem to come up year after year, I'll throw out a few of them, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Kite Runner, and The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. Why do some books like that come up again and again with challenges over the years?
You know, sometimes I believe that the best definition we have of a classic is something that irritates one generation after another. And by that I mean it says something powerful and significant and it makes us uncomfortable. And so, like, the Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian talks about the real difficulties faced by Native Americans growing up in a culture that has almost destroyed theirs. The Kite Runner talks about the very difficult issue of, conflict between cultures and sexual violence and its effect on young people. So it's and The Kill a Mockingbird deals with race, which is something that America continues to grapple with. So I think that it's not surprising that the books that wind up being banned are also on classic lists.
Are library programs sometimes challenged, apart from the materials themselves?
Yeah, we're actually starting to see quite a shift in the landscape of libraries. It used to be it was just books. And now it's displays, and ironically, often the displays that are challenged are banned Book Week displays, where someone will come in and say, you know, that book there, that's really offensive. I understand that you have to have it, but just don't show it to anybody. Or we have challenges that are done to speakers, not even necessarily library programs, but someone in the community might say, I want to do a program that has to do with, the connection between autism and vaccinations. And so someone will push back and say, well, the library shouldn't permit that to happen. So we live in increasingly censorious times, I believe.
Leave us with a message to people who use their libraries around the country. Why Banned Book Week is important.
Let's remember that the First Amendment is all about our individual right to inquire. It's our right to learn. As we look around the world and say, what are all the problems that we face? Reading too much isn't one of them. The more kids read, the more prepared they're going to be for life, and the more that kids and adults talk about those books together, the better we'll understand each other.
Jamie, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Jamie LaRue is the director of the American Library Association's Office for Intellectual Freedom. He joined us last week to talk about Banned Book Week.